From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever the cape wearing heartthrob hair, new haircut rocking.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
My producer, my friend, my brother, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey there, Bob. Kind of giving you another camera angle here because I'm still ruffling with this one here. But yes, if you could see, I did get a haircut.
Man, you're out of focus. I spent all that time setting up that shot going back to my filmmaking
I thought
days.
You were a filmmaker, Bob.
I was a filmmaker at one point, but you moved around and the shot's out of focus.
I don't
now.
Know. I don't think you had a focus to begin with.
I had
Bob.
A focus. Excuse me. I did a critical
Mary Beth
focus.
Would be very
Oh,
sad
Mary
to
Beth
see
is
this.
Listening to the show right now screaming at me about why I had incredible
well,
focus.
Well, I'm going to check it out during the little pause here.
When we pass it over to your weekend update, I will go and make it into focus.
Now, Bob, you had a little career in filmmaking, so yes,
I did. Yes, I spent 4.5 years in film school.
Yes,
getting a degree in film.
Yes.
And the sad thing is, and what's really going to beat me up here, right, is the fact that my focus in the filmmaking world was cinematography and camera work, and I can't even get a shot in the focus.
Oh, what people boy. Say right now.
Somebody out there is making
You were
fun
in award-winning films.
I was. I was an award-winning filmmaker, too. Like, to add to everything else in this, I was an award-winning filmmaker.
Hey, look at this production we got going on here right now.
It's just
look at this.
A little out of focus. I'll get it. Don't worry. It's right, my first time using that particular camera. I'll blame it on that.
Well, if this one turns back on, I'll let you know here. But, yes, great to be here, focused but yet unfocused on Bob After Dark.
You know, Cal Panic, if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, this is your weekly paranormal show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural, weird lights in the sky, bumps in the night, cryptid stories, and, of course, Count Panic's favorite cheese.
Well, you know what? I have a lot of different favorite cheeses there, Bob. Not so big on the goat cheese, but I do enjoy any other type of cheese for the most part.
Yeah.
Goat cheese, I could live without the goat cheese.
Absolutely. Not a fan of goat cheese, huh?
Not a fan of goat cheese,
you know,
Bob.
We got a lot of things to catch up on. But first, let's get to everybody's favorite part of the show, the Panic's Weekend Update,
all
as
right.
I go and move and get this camera into focus.
We're going to see how good at Bob is at filmmaking right now because
I got it. Don't worry about
he's going to make sure it gets done. But I did have a great weekend, everybody, if you're watching there on Jed TV or listening on any other platform. Yes. What was it? I know we had a lot of storms in the area this past weekend. We had tornado warnings this past weekend as well, so it was kind of difficult to work with that. Even being a count, a vampire, it's still tricky as far as weather is concerned. But on Friday, I was able to squeeze in a little outing there to Hammond, Indiana. The folks out there were nice enough to invite me to a food truck operation, as far as it goes, a food truck operation. And I was one of the judges there, Bob, so I got to judge all these great foods from tons of different food trucks, as far as that goes. And they had many different types of food. Oh, my goodness, you're watching Jed TV right now. You might be having an attack on your eyes here, but many different types of food out there. You know, I'm going to put to the shot of the rain as we... Oh, there you go, Bob. That's good. Perfect. But there was many different types of food trucks out there, and they were kind enough to invite me there, and I was a judge, so I was ribs and burgers and chicken and lobster and everything of that nature. Sorry to make you all hungry watching or listening at home, but kind of like a... I don't want to say celebrity judge because I don't think I'm that big of a celebrity, but it was nice to be asked and be a part of the food judging competition. A lot of great food out there, Bob. A lot of great food.
Excellent.
And
I'm
you
glad
did a great job on the camera.
I,
as well.
It took me a second. I apologize to the Jet TV audience. Apparently, my focus ring's acting a little wonky.
Yeah, no, it looks fine, Bob.
It looks good now, yes?
Yeah, look, it's perfect. Picture perfect right there. And we always got this cool shot to cut back to, Bob. Look, at it's raining right now.
You know,
now.
It's always my favorite, like, time when we could do a show during, like, rain, because it adds, like, that extra layer of, like, really, like, spooky romance to it, right? But that's a lot of rain. Should we be worried about taking duck and cover here soon? Because that's...
Well, Bob, as long as there are no tornadoes, because you're right by a window there, so I think we're good. But
oh, thanks. Right by the window. We're fine.
But look at how cool that looks right there.
It's a beautiful shot. Yeah. I'm sorry. We have to take a quick second just to admire the great camera work of Count Panic from behind the scenes.
And look at the way it's like... Now, that looks like a little cool, because it looks like it's with the rain, it's a little out of focus as well. So that's a cool shot right there.
I'll take credit for that one.
Yeah. Very good, Bob. Very good.
All right.
How was your weekend?
You know, my weekend was interesting, to say the least. I was supposed to be out on vacation to the Ohio State Reformatory this weekend to go do a little paranormal investigating. But unfortunately, life got in the way, and... As always, it's just sometimes life finds a way, and I didn't get a chance to make it out to the Ohio State Reformatory like I had planned, so I did end up canceling the trip there. But my staycation, as I called it, was an eventful one. I got eaten alive by mosquitoes was my big highlight of my trip. My staycation, if you will. I got to go to a couple cool spots, one of which is one of my favorite antique stores in Milwaukee, which I can't think of the name of it offhand, but the Cattywampus is the booth there, if they're listening right now. Kim and her partner that run the Cattywampus Paranormal Spooky Occult booth, which I'm a big fan of at that particular antique market. You get to find a lot of really cool old occulty books and stuff, so I took a trip there. And then Sunday, I got a chance to go to Whitewater, Wisconsin, which is New Salem, as some people call it, due to some spooky happenings that's been going on in that town. And I might be spoiling it by talking about it, because that might be the topic of this week's episode.
Possibly.
So we're stick around for a little bit more of that. And then I got some fan mail, which I was really excited about.
More fan mail.
I got fan mail from a listener by the name of Jody. Jody was very sweet and sent me a package. And the story goes that I was browsing through Ghostly Society, which is Ghostly Podcasts, like Facebook page for their fans to kind of chat and talk amongst themselves about whatnot. And listener Jody was talking a little bit about her daughter actually going to an abandoned hospital that supposedly has some haunted stories to it now that it's long abandoned. And Jody's daughter ended up with a package of keys. And forgot about the keys, and Jody was cleaning up a little bit and found this package of keys, and Jody asked daughter about the keys, and apparently the daughter freaked out and said, get rid of them, you know, they're haunted. And apparently, because my life makes no sense sometimes, I found out about this case, and I said, well, I don't want you to throw these keys out. If you're going to get rid of them, I would love to take them. And lo and behold, I got a package from our friend Jody, listener Jody.
Really?
With a package full of keys.
A package full of keys?
Yes, from this haunted abandoned hospital.
Now, are the keys in turn haunted? Do you feel like you're...
I didn't get anything weird. I didn't pick up on anything weird going on in that... from the keys, I just opened them up and kind of laid them out. But it's really cool. I plan on doing a display with them. But it's really cool and fascinating.
No, it sounds fascinating. Well, what a great... What great fan mail there, Bob.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was my weekend. Just a lot of R&R and just kind of getting by with what I can. That's really all I got to say about it. Folks, remember to drink your water. That's very important.
Here's my
PSA for the day. Drink water and remember to practice self-care, because sometimes that's some of the best care you possibly can give yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
By the way, I got to say, sitting inside the studio here, that rain is coming down pretty hard. I could hear you, but I also hear the rain pretty mighty as well. But I guess that fits the mood of the show, doesn't it?
Is it overbearing on my audio?
No. Okay, no, you're good. But with me, you know, I could pick up a lot of things there. So I pick up some rain. But sounds good.
You know, I'm looking at you, and when you get worried, I get worried.
No.
Right? Because I just want to make sure we're not, like, Because I remember, do you remember the time we were doing the show and the lightning actually struck right by and shut off all the signal to the radio and everything?
Yeah, that happened sometimes.
That happened, and I remember when that happened, we were doing the show. So I always get, like, I love when we do the show during the rain, right? Like I said, it kind of adds that spooky ambiance. But sometimes I will go back to what I remember when we got struck by lightning, and I'm like, ooh, that's scary.
Well, if that's the case, Bob, I just call the cops, and they come and fix everything, right? No, we'll be fine, Bob. We'll be fine. The worst-case scenario, Bob, we'll do like they used to do in school, where you go into the hallway and put the books over your head, and everything is fine.
No, let's, you know, we're okay here, folks. You know, we...
Sure.
Get to that point.
Easy for you to say.
We're fine.
All right.
We're fine.
All right.
This is a nice, sturdy studio. We're fine.
Oh, it's very sturdy.
Absolutely.
Feel the windows shake.
Yes. And by the way, folks, joking aside, our hearts go out to everybody in the greater Chicagoland area over the past week that have been affected due to the flooding, due to the tornado sightings, because this is kind of really strange for Chicagoland to get like two tornadoes in 2 weeks. And we've gotten two or three tornadoes in 2 weeks. So everybody affected by the storms, just know that our hearts go out to you and we're thinking about you. And if, you know, folks, if you get out there and you could donate blood, whatever you can do to help some of the relief fund out, make sure you guys get to the proper channels to go help out with what you can, because it's very important.
There you have it. Yeah,
absolutely.
A lot of sirens going off this weekend.
Pretty wild stuff, but we're okay. It sounds like the rain stopped, so let's dive right in.
Sure.
You know, Count Panic, before we begin, I have one quick thing that we're going to be starting in the TikTok land that I didn't tell you about.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's going to be the hashtag Ask Panic.
Oh, okay.
So every week before the show, we're going to ask a series of questions that you, the fans, have for our producer, Count Panic. Remember, at the end of the day, Count Panic isn't well-versed in the paranormal. His well-versedness has come from producing the show for a couple of years. So he knows what to, you know, he gets a little bit of knowledge from it, but he doesn't come from a paranormal background.
No.
But Count Panic loves the, he's his personality, and he is, at the end of the day, the spinal cord to our show. And our fans, I have gotten asked if people can ask you more questions. So
sure.
What we're going to be doing through the Bob After Dark TikTok channel is every week people could send questions in, and I will be asking you, and you can give us your response to the questions. And so next week, starting next week, you can reach out and we'll ask questions. We'd love to hear it. So you could ask us questions about, and not me, you're not asking me a question, but you're going to be asking Count Panic.
Yes.
Questions about the paranormal, his favorite stories, what kind of cheese or what butter or jelly on his toast. It's going to be the hashtag Ask Panic.
Ask away. I will answer. And that's free of charge, too, right? You don't have to pay to ask me anything. Just ask me something. So I'm happy to do that, Bob.
So you guys can, that'll be starting up next
start
week.
It up.
Or
start
if one of our fans have a question here on the chat box, in the Jet TV chat box, they can chime in and ask us, and I will see if we can track down a couple of these questions, and maybe we can record it after the show while we get the episode ready.
A lot of people chiming in here. We got, let's give shout-outs. Rye, we got Heather, Vix, Elliot, Bobby, Ben. I'm looking down the line here. A lot of people, Bobby, another Bobby, yes. So a lot of people chiming in here, Bob. A lot of people taking advantage of the Jet TV chat board.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, we're happy to have everybody here. Thank you so much for chiming in, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. All right, Cal Panic.
Yes, Bob.
If this is your first time ever watching or listening to another episode of Bob After Dark, how the show works is we split the show into halves. The first half of the show, we talk about weird, spooky news of the week. That is where you, the children of the night, find weird, spooky articles about anything paranormal, weird advances in science that borderline on science fiction, weird things found in the ground in archaeological news, or just general overall spookiness. And I talk about the article, and we get the hashtag Panic's Take, where Panic gives us his raw opinion about what
yes.
we talk about. And sometimes I have to get up on a soapbox and talk a little bit about the weird.
And don't mind me that I'm standing. I'm just looking at something over here. Don't be alarmed by what
I'm
doing.
What are you looking at?
Because I think I have to adjust one setting here. But continue.
Do you not
on.
Like my shot?
I do like the shot. But I'm going to fix this as well. But I'm listening to you, Bob. I'm listening to you.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about our first news article, which actually was sent to us by James from Peoria.
James? Oh, James.
James from Peoria. He sends us over this. A couple of people sent this article over because it's not new news. It's like almost 2 weeks old at this point.
Yeah.
But it broke out last week after we got, you know, right before I did the show when I got all my notes together, so I couldn't talk about it. But this is a great story I couldn't pass up. And that is this this article, again, sent from the Lee Valley Live news outlet, which I believe is from where this story was taking place, their little newspaper out, you know, newspaper news outlet, right? Sent to us by James, and it is police break up an exorcism at a Pennsylvania Home Depot.
Okay, wow. All right.
Police in Lackawanna County broke up an exorcism in the lumber aisle of the home improvement store on Monday. Details are scarce on what was going on inside the Home Depot on Commerce Drive in Dixon City Monday afternoon. Police were called about 3:26 p.m. To escort several people out of the store for, quote, bad behavior, the WBREWYOU was reporting. According to reports, the exorcism was held for the trees that had been turned into lumber. The police blotter item posted on the Dixon City Police Facebook page gave a few clues to what happened, simply saying, 326 Commerce Boulevard at Home Depot for disorderly people having an exorcism in the lumber aisle for the dead trees. They are escorted out of the building. Close to 200 comments were made on the post that begged for more details, and there is no indication that the incident had anything to do with the, you know, current, you know, inflation of the price of lumber. According to the reports, there have been no charges filed at this time, and unfortunately, there is no update to this news article that I desperately wish, out of many of the stories we've talked about on the show, I desperately want more response to this article, like to any article I've ever read, than to this one right here. Why was there an exorcism going on at Home Depot at 3:26 p.m.?
I want the same explanation as well, Bob. Yeah, I can see your point there.
Hashtag panic steak.
Well, you know, this would never happen at Menards. Menards runs a tight ship over there. But yes, you know, it could happen anywhere. An exorcism could take place at any place, anytime, anywhere. Why can't it happen at a Home Depot? I mean, you mentioned the price of lumber. That may have something to do with that. You never know. But this might just be possibly, to my knowledge, I don't know, maybe you know more about this, but probably the weirdest place an exorcism has ever taken place.
I heard a story. Okay, I heard a story, but there was no, like, actual news to back it up, except there was a sign hanging up in the window.
Okay.
Apparently, there was something like a seance going on at a Subway once, like a Subway restaurant. And there was a sign hanging up afterwards saying there was no seances allowed in the Subway. But okay. So minus that, this is like a legitimate article that's got like actual backing. So this is a real thing that happened. But somebody was performing an exorcism in Home Depot. And I have several questions. Why? In Home Depot? Actually, there's several versions of why. Why in the Home Depot? Why did you have to go and... What possessed you, no pun intended, to have to perform an exorcism? Who was possessed? Was it the story says they were trying to perform it on the lumber for the trees? Was it the tree spirits were possessing the lumber?
Quite possibly, Bob. Quite possibly.
Some cultures believe that there's, you know, nature is obviously a living, breathing thing. So perhaps being turned into lumber really angered this one particular tree and maybe it was causing issues. I don't know. This is literally the pure speculation comments I've ever had about anything we've ever had to do.
I'm still going to give the edge, though, to the Home Depot. I think having an exorcism in Home Depot, despite, you know, the seance and Subway may seem a little offbeat, the exorcism in Home Depot, I think I'll give the nod of the hat there for being the weirdest place where something supernatural can occur.
Do you remember, and I'm not going to talk about this because maybe we'll do an episode on this at some point, but there was a psychic in the 90s. She's passed now by the name of Sylvia Brown. Hmm. Sylvia Brown, you might not know her name. You might, because if you go to your local bookstore and you look for our kinds of books, you will find Sylvia Brown books littered with, she dealt with, like, you know, she's a psychic medium proclaimed, and she was also like an angelic communicator. So you find, like, a lot of her books about talking to, like, angelic entities in, like, our section of books, right? And Sylvia Brown did an exorcism once at a Toys R Us. And I can't remember, like, the actual details of the story, but one of those weird paranormal shows, and of course it's, I'm blanking on it because I didn't have this on my notes. It just came to me now. There was the show with Leonard Nimoy back in like the 80s and 90s where it was like him talking about weird, spooky stuff. And one of the episodes was the story about this haunted Toys R Us.
Okay.
And Sylvia Brown went there and performed an exorcism on that. So this isn't the first time I've heard of something like this going on at a department store. True story. And that one had like a lot of media speculation behind it of this farmhand who the Toys R Us story is bonkers. It's very strange. But this one, there's not enough info about it. So maybe down the line when some TV station gives me my own show talking about weird paranormal stories and I dress in a suit and stand in like a smoky background, perhaps they'll be my thing. But again, an exorcism in Home Depot. That's all I got. And I'll move on to the next story because it's just, this is the most fascinating article I've covered in a long time.
Well, you know, this might be the start of a latest trend. We might see more of these throughout the nation as well. It could be a
God, I hope so.
Thing.
James sent me the article, and I looked. I'm sitting there and I'm staring at it, and you have that blinking face, right? That like calming nature, and it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
And then I got upset. I was like, man, police are cutting me down on my prime here. I'm going to be losing out on my things. Oh. Like you're cutting into my territory, you know?
Stay in your lane.
I guess if you're going to perform one, maybe you shouldn't be, you know, messing with the people, common folk that are shopping at Home Depot.
No.
Some people just want to get a sander, right? And they don't want to have to deal with demonic activity.
And this was during the afternoon period.
3:30 in the afternoon.
I think that's the funniest part of it. Just to happen, you know, people are just shopping around, and next aisle, there's an exorcism taking place. Some exciting lifestyles out there, Bob. I'm telling you, some exciting lifestyles.
Yes.
Very good story, though.
Yeah, 10 out of 10, guys. Yeah. I appreciate James sending me that one, and there was other people who sent it, but I didn't believe it. And then when I got it from, like, a legitimate news article site, I was like, this is real. It's actually happening.
Fact-check it, and it is true.
You know, I got to move on because we're going to be talking something about on the show that we don't ever really get to touch base on, and I'm only going to be talking about it because it's really fascinating, and that is the true crime world, right?
Okay.
So I use this analogy a lot, and so for our new fans, you just get to hear it, and it's something I talk about a lot, and it's because it's a good analogy to have, and people that I talk to in a paranormal community, they really like it, so let's just go with it, right? Imagine there is two sides of a railroad track when it comes to the world of, let's say, thinking, right? You got your left side of your tracks and your right side of the tracks. This isn't political by any means. It could be right and wrong for all I care. But on one side, people have normal conversations about things like sports, politics, media, entertainment, you know, fill in the blank, common stuff, right?
Yeah.
On the other side of the tracks is what I like to call where we hang out. And I like to call that the strange side of the tracks, where we're all on one bowling league, but we play on separate teams.
Of course.
And on this bowling league, you have things like the paranormal. You have cryptid zoology, which, you know, is a subgenre of the paranormal, but not necessarily about ghosts. So you got your paranormal, you got your cryptozoology, conspiracy theories, etc., etc. And sometimes these bowling teams will pull against each other and we hang out again on the same bowling league, but we're not necessarily on the same team, right? It's not competition by any means. Well, it is competition, but not like, you know, it's not. Well, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So different teams. And on this other team is this thing called true crime. And I would say out of anything on this bowling league that I have interaction with on a norm, it would probably be interactions with the true crime community, because sometimes these stories do fall into a paranormal kind of line of work. And this one's not paranormal by any means. You don't really get a whole lot of ghostly talks about this stuff, no pun intended, Pat and Rebecca. But this one's about the Zodiac Killer. And the Zodiac Killer, you know, they made that famous film a few years back, which was really good.
Of course.
You've seen the Zodiac movie?
Yeah.
Yep. So the Zodiac Killer was a real big thing, and the Zodiac Killer was sending ciphers to try to get caught, right? It was leaving trail crumbs. And over the years, different people have stepped forward and said that they have cracked the Zodiac case and they were trying to figure out who the Zodiac killer was. Well, apparently right now, according to Rock 95, one of the rock and roll stations, they put up an article talking about this French engineer who claims that they cracked the final ciphers in the Zodiac case and have identified at least part of the Zodiac case. A French engineer claims that he learned the identity of the Zodiac killer after solving his two remaining ciphers. And folks, I don't speak French, so you're going to have to bear with me. Faycal Zeroni, F-A-Y-C with the thingy below it, A-L-Z-I-R-O-U-I-T-O-L-D, told the New York Times. He started working the case during the corona pandemic after reading an article in a French magazine about how a team of amateur codebreakers cracked a previously unsolvable cipher from the killer. The codebreakers put the encryption key online, and Zeroki decided to use it to solve the remaining two ciphers, Z32 and Z13, which are 32 characters and 13 characters long. The letter that contained 32 character cipher warned that a bomb would go off at a school and told investigators that they had to solve the puzzle to find out where the bomb was hidden. While investigators failed to decipher the cipher, no bomb was ever went off at a school. When Zeroi applied the encryption key to the cipher, he got a random group of letters. He wasn't going to stop there and spent weeks trying to decipher the code-cracking techniques. I was obsessed with it, 24 hours a day. That's all I could think about, Zeroi said. After 2 weeks, he finally solved the cipher, which reads, Labor Day, find 45.069 North, 58.719 West. The coordinates match up with a school in South Lake Tahoe, California. The same school is referenced in a postcard sent by the Zodiac Killer in 1971. Zeroi then set to cracking a 13-character cipher which supposedly revealed the killer's identity. It took him just an hour to solve the cipher, which spelled out Kayr, K-A-Y-R. Zeroi believes that this reference to Lawrence Kayr, a career criminal who lived in South Lake Tahoe and was suspected of being the killer. He died in 2010. Zeroi explained that the Zodiac killer made a typo similar to the ones he made in other ciphers. When Zeroi posted the findings online, he was shut down and met with criticism. His post on a subreddit about the killer was deleted within 30 minutes. The moderator said this was against the policy posting solutions to the remaining ciphers because they are unsolvable. Many code crackers believe that they are too short to determine the encryption key, and there is no way of definitively prove that the answer is correct. David Orenchark, who helped crack the 340-character cipher, explained that there are hundreds of proposals for Z13 and Z32 solutions, but that it is practically impossible to determine if any of them are correct in a written exchange. Hashtag panic stake.
That's very interesting, Bob. So this whole thing is kind of cryptic in a way as far as...
excuse me.
You're excused, Bob. As far as the lingo goes and the language goes, it's all kind of hidden. That's what you're trying to tell me.
Yes.
Encrypted.
Yes.
Different signs, different meanings here. Now, that's the spookiest part to me. Like sometimes you can't make this stuff out, but that's interesting. So do they think that has ties to the whole Zodiac thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. So the Zodiac Killer made these ciphers, right, to try to crack down who he was because he was leaving these breadcrumbs or they, whatever. And, you know, a lot of people come forward over the years and said they've cracked the case, but I'm gonna believe it. I don't do the true crime stuff as much. Some of these cases are very fascinating to me, and the Zodiac Killer one happens to be one of the most fascinating stories to me because it's still an unsolved mystery all these decades later. Who is the Zodiac Killer? And I believe that this French engineer had the answers all along.
No, and quite possibly so. I think he's onto something there.
You believe so?
I do. Hey, I want to bring attention to one thing here, Bob.
Absolutely, hit me.
So now look at this. We got your amazing shot right there.
Yes.
We also got Old Trusty over here as well.
Oh, thank you. So you're going to get rid of my shot now?
No, we're just doing both. A little bit of both. Look at that right there. A little bit of action. I don't know. I just, you know, sometimes it's just easier to talk to this camera. But this camera's nice as well. Maybe I'll use both of them, Bob. Should we address the cameras? There we go. Address the cameras. There we go. I'm having too much fun here, Bob. I'll send it back to you.
Absolutely. Count, you can keep it on you at all times. It's fine.
No, Bob.
I don't need to be on camera.
This is the best camera angle right here we got, Bob.
Straight ahead me with my background behind me. This wonderful graphic.
And don't forget this beautiful shot as well.
I love that shot. I'm a fan of those like weird like bumper images that you would like put as a transition between like videos or like the old Adult Swim bumpers.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of stuff like that. So that's a great shot.
I could watch this all night here.
That's a good toss on some lo-fi hip-hop beats, and I'm 100% going to bed.
All right. We'll probably hit it a couple more times here. But, Bob, back to the best shot we got right there.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, from one bowling team to the next one I don't ever really talk about. And I mean, crossover here is heavy, but it's not my thing. I let the people that do these types of work and the research that goes into it, I applaud them. Not my thing. This one was just fascinating enough to where I wanted to bring it up because it's hitting mainstream news. I found this on WGN, and that's the conspiracy theory world.
Okay.
Don't talk a lot about it on the show. It's not my thing. I let the conspiracy people have their bowling team. I go have a pitcher of beer with them during the seventh lane stretch. Hang out with them, cool, fine, dandy. I'm not that type of person. However, this was a very interesting story, and that is Birds Aren't Real. Rolling Rally makes its first stop in Missouri, and this was presented on WGN by Ivory Macy from the NextStar Media Wire.
Birds aren't real.
Birds aren't real. They are not real.
Okay.
So in Springfield, Missouri, a crowd of people are gathered in the downtown Springfield area to attend the Birds Aren't Real rally. According to Peter Mickendow with the Birds Aren't Real movement, all birds in the United States were killed by the government and replaced by federal drones. What makes me think that? I think the evidence is all around us. Birds sit on power lines. We believe they're charging on power lines. We believe that bird excrement on cars is actual liquid tracking apparatuses. The movement, which has been fueled online chatter as well as mysterious flyers posted in cities all across the U.S., is currently on tour, and Springfield was its first stop. Birds Aren't Real relies on internet-fueled guerrilla marketing to spread the silly message. Followers are poking fun at conspiracy theories, such as some of the bigger political ones lately, that have gone mainstream over the last several years. Mick and Doe is the creative muscle behind the avian-inspired conspiracy, according to the National Audubon Society. He first went live with Birds Aren't Real in January 2017 at the Memphis Women's March. Since then, the movement has gained a large fan base with a subreddit with over 360,000 Reddit subscribers to it. And I've seen a couple of these things pop up. I always thought it was a joke, but apparently it's not. There are people that have the research done about the erratic behavior of birds and how they communicate in strange hours.
Interesting.
And just how strange they really are, and people just believe that birds aren't real. Hashtag panics take.
Well, you know, I'm not ruling anything out here, Bob. If there's people out there that believe in this type of stuff, then sure, go ahead and believe in this type of stuff. Is it all birds or just specific birds?
All birds.
Every
are
bird
not
out
real,
there.
Yes.
All right, seagulls, crows.
Blackbirds, bluebirds, robins.
Yeah.
They're not real.
Pigeons, all that, those seagulls. Type of birds, not real.
I don't believe seagulls are real. Those things are demons.
I always hunch about those things.
Seagulls are like legitimate cryptids, man.
Yeah, yeah. Seagull, yes, you're right. Good. I think seagulls are cryptids there. But you know what, Bob? I guess they could be off-putting for a lot of folks out there. Pigeons just kind of walk up to you in the city. That's kind of alarming as well. What kind of bird has the courage to do that? But, yeah, I could see a point here that there might be something wrong with these so-called things that fly in the sky. And I get what they're saying. But at the end of the day, Bob, I'm going to go out with my opinion. I'm going to say birds are, in fact, real. That's just my opinion now, that birds are real.
Listen, I don't necessarily ever have a backing to these conspiracy theories because I let people believe what they want.
Yeah.
Part of my job as a paranormal investigator is I don't like to, and paranormal researcher, I don't like to fault people on their beliefs, especially because I deal with the witch community a lot. And the witch community is some of my strongest supporters, and I love them people very much, and I defend them with everything I got. and their beliefs go against the norm. So it's nice. I defend their right to believe in what they want, as long as you're not hurting another human being and you're not like, you know, you're not doing something bad, right? Yeah. I want you to believe in what you want to believe. So if these people want to believe that birds are not real and there's some sort of government-controlled apparatus, I want you to believe what you want to believe. You're not out hurting anybody. You're out doing a rally. You found 360,000 people to believe in your following. You're not, again, you're not causing an uprising, right? No real downside. So I'll let them believe what they want. As far as my personal belief, I don't know. I kind of dig birds sometimes. They're very fascinating to watch and listen and see interactions, especially crows and ravens, especially with, like, the Norse kind of pagan side to, like, crows and ravens, like, background and, you know, like, lore behind them. It's so fascinating and cool. I'm going to go stick with that they're real.
Okay, so that's two to the folks here that think birds are real. Again, at the end of the day, although there is a moth flying around the studio right
Wait,
now.
Wait, no, there is not.
Do you see that right there?
Oh, my God.
Can you see that?
I can't, but I believe you that we have a moth in here.
Now, is that a real thing or no?
Well, you know, Count Panic, it's funny that you bring that up because there happens to be a certain cryptid that I see it flying around.
You see it, Bob?
Oh, my God. There
It's a moth.
You know, one of my, maybe you've heard of it. There's a specific paranormal story, which I happen to be a very big fan of.
Yes.
Mothman. Have you heard of him?
So you think this is a sign?
Do I think that there might be Mothman in here? It might be sending out a smaller version of it to come check on us. It's kind of spooky.
Because I never see too many moths in here. Again, it's in the evening and there are a lot of lights on here. But is there a chance, Bob, at any point during the show, this moth could then in turn turn into a Mothman?
I mean, I don't have any, I don't have a current hypothesis about how a Mothman hangs around. So maybe it shapeshifts into tiny moth and that's how Mothman travels around without being noticed. That's a Bob After Dark exclusive theory.
We'll keep an eye on this moth.
If this moth like fully develops into Mothman, folks, not only am I going to become the greatest show ever in the history of shows because I'm going to prove that Mothman is real, and I'm going to go down in history as the greatest paranormal researcher of all time because I proved it without blurry imagery. You also may hear me scream on decibels that I didn't think actually existed because I'm going to be very, very excited.
This could happen on camera, too.
It could be. We're going to keep an eye on this moth that could actually be something.
This Moth Watch 2021. We're going to keep our eyes on this thing. So
Moth Watch 2021. Here it's just... I'm not lying to you either, folks. It's not like I let this moth into the studio. That's something.
No, it's where not like it was in your pocket or
we're
anything.
At, where we're at with the studio, it's not necessarily like an area where you would commonly see a moth flying around. We're in like a heavily populated metropolitan. Like, it's city. You know, you go outside, we have a busy road right here. It's not like quieted, like wooded area. So
who do you think set the moth?
It might be Mothman.
Right.
Sorry, it's a little sidetrack.
I know. Well, kind of on the topic of birds and things have wings, but
so you believe birds are real?
I think birds are real, Bob.
Okay, I'm gonna stick with it too.
I'm gonna stick with it.
But again, I don't want the birds aren't real movement to believe I'm dive bombing their movement here.
No.
Absolutely not. I support you. I want you to have that. And in fact, if this can get to the birds that aren't real, like movement people, I'd love to talk with them. They're welcome. They could call in for the show. We'll do an interview with them.
Sure.
Why not?
Call in.
It'll be the one time we ever talk about a conspiracy on the show. We'll do an interview about it. I'm all about it.
In this day and age, what is a conspiracy? I mean,
we
get deep here.
Let's just skip ahead, Count Panic, because sure. I'm sure people out there are going to be like, oh, Bob After Dark is moving into conspiracy territory, and that's not a good place to be.
Well, we won't.
No, we won't. No. You know, Count Panic, I got a question for you.
What's that, Bob?
You know, have you ever looked on Apple Podcasts at Bob After Dark and scrolled on down and you're staring at the reviews and you always think, man, should I leave a review? Shouldn't I leave a review? You ever do that?
I do it hours and hours a day.
You know,
I never know what to do.
You might be one of our fans.
Oh, okay.
You might be one of the children tonight because I know you're listening. And I know you're listening on Apple Podcasts because I get the statistics, folks.
Yeah.
So if you just scroll on down to the customer reviews. You can leave Bob After Dark a 5-star review, and you could be featured on the show and get cheers to by me and Count Panic.
Simple as that?
Absolutely. All simple right. as that. So go on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. That is a big help for me, because the more those reviews pop up, the more Apple Podcasts throws me into the algorithms to get discovered.
Yes.
Which means I don't have to work anymore, and I can do Bob After Dark full time.
Let's do it.
That's the plan. Yeah. I was supposed to be my plan, but, you know, life happens.
It does.
Absolutely. We have a caller on the line.
I could tell you want to take it live.
Let's just take it live, because it's probably John.
Well, we don't know for sure. Let's see.
We're going to take it, and are they live on air right
now? They're
live. John, is that you?
It sure is, Bob.
Ah, yes. I consider myself psychic sometimes. Hello, John.
If I could give you a 10-star review over the phone, I would.
John, that I appreciate that. You know, you should have Count Panic here teach you how to leave a review on Apple Podcasts.
Can they do phone reviews?
You could call in and say you love the show. That would make me feel incredible.
Dial 10 for Bob.
That would make me feel really good, John.
Sometimes I feel like you're people that chime in via the internet wonder, you know, wow, this guy's still using a telephone, you know. I get that feeling sometimes.
That's all right.
But anyway, if I could share an article with you.
John, wow. Absolutely.
He does more than me.
I was going to say, John, you want to come produce the show? You are a proud member of the Bob After Dark family. If I could adopt the children of the night are the children of the night. They are my babies. But you are, like, dedicated. You call every week, and I really appreciate that. I think I've missed you twice in my years of doing this.
I think you're about right on that. Well, I enjoy listening, so you know what? I always look forward to Tuesday nights at 9 for Bob After Dark.
Well, thank you, John. So what's on your mind tonight?
But this article comes out of a magazine called Haunted West. It's a pretty interesting magazine. It's got various... I feel like I'm the Walt now. Walt calls in all the time telling stories about stuff. So, but it's got a lot of different articles, but... this one's from the White Eagle Saloon and Hotel in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Okay, so it says, what's a Chinese ghost doing in a Polish bar? In the context of the rich history of Portland's waterfront, it makes total sense. Opened by a pair of Polish brothers in 1906, the White Eagle served as the unofficial headquarters of the city's Polish population for decades. A White Eagle appears on the Poland's flag. For a time, the saloon employed a tough Chinese bouncer who was said to still protect the property more than a century later. Though his vision is not only eerie phenomenon, guests also report seeing objects flying around and toilets flushing on their own.
Wow.
So huh. Nothing unusual to you, but I mean, I had to throw that in because you're talking about birds, so we got a white eagle in the play, and of course it's a Polish saloon. So, with a Chinese bouncer, so go figure that. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know. You got the, but I thought I'd just share that with you.
No, absolutely, John. Thank you. And anytime you guys ever find things like that out in the world, share that with me. And what you said, this was a paranormal magazine you're reading.
Well, it's called Haunted West, legendary tales from the frontier Haunted West, and it's got ghost towns, restless spirits, unsolved mysteries, and more.
Fascinating. Well, thank you, John.
Yeah, I could go on. You know, I could let the count show us to you too.
Absolutely, I'd love to see it. John, before I let you go, I want to thank you for calling in, but I also want to thank you for supporting print media. It's the magazine world is a dying art these days. And, you know, back once upon a time ago, I wish I was around during the days of, like, when paranormal magazines were being published on the norm, because I could be submitting articles to things like that. And I know they're still kicking around, but not as prevalent, right? So I appreciate you supporting print media still. It's an important thing to support.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, I'll give this to the account, and, you know, you could take a look and browse it.
Absolutely. Well. Thanks, sure. John. I appreciate you.
All right, Bob. Take care.
Have a good one.
You too.
Wow.
You know, Bob, you say
you're
print.
Fired. You say research. He gave me research.
Fantastic. He's reading articles. Yes. But you mentioned print, and I still see some from time to time, paranormal magazines out there, but a consistent one, which leads me to believe, didn't you say at one point I know you're talking more about online, but what if we did a monthly, probably we have to find a printing press, but a monthly magazine, a Bob After Dark monthly magazine.
That sounds like it's going to be a lot of money. If the subscriber count would be there, I'm not opposed.
I don't know how to get
that.
Yeah,
sounds like
it's to get it made.
I think that sounds like a job for you to do some digging on.
Think about it. We could go on street corners about extra, extra. Read all about.
Well, no,
it.
I mean we would set up a like subscription service, and people would.
I kind of want to stand the street corner and say extra, extra, and then people give
count
you the
panic,
money.
Listen,
and then
you
pass
it out. I think that's a job for you to
like
start
a zine.
Doing. A zine would be an online magazine.
No, I know. I thought a
zines
zine
are either that or zines also like that counterculture movement where they like printed like the silly newspaper articles like
okay.
in high schools and stuff. Yeah. But like a legitimate paranormal like monthly, biannually, like or try what's the quarterly magazine?
Yearly.
It'd be fascinating. I mean, I'm not opposed to the idea. You could do some research and find out how that would be.
I'm
going to
see how much a printing press costs.
Well, I mean, we'd have to outsource it. If any of our children of the night works in the printing company, works for a printing company, let us know. That's not a terrible idea.
Interesting
to find out. Because there's a handful I know that exist.
Mm-hmm.
One of our colleagues in the paranormal community, T, he writes for one that deals with like a lot of paranormal stuff, but it's printed in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and it's not easy to come by here in the States. And to pay for an international subscription is very expensive. And they're one of like the older like periodicals that are still printed about the paranormal. But I'm not opposed.
Like
I think it would be fascinating.
Think about it. We put posters in there, Bob. Poster, a
Bob,
count poster, yeah.
Bob posters.
Bob stickers.
Listen, I'm not, let's put a pin in that. Listen, I've heard a lot of ideas come from your mouth over the time I've been doing this, but that's not the worst.
Not a bad one, right?
No, I like it. Let's put a pin in that.
All right, put a pin in that.
And speaking of taking a pin in something, Count Panic, why don't we put a pin in the episode right now and take a quick break?
All right,
podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a show that you should be listening to. And to our live audience, we'll be right back. Enjoy the rain.
This is Mike.
This is Jacob.
And this is Matt.
We are Moth Boys,
a podcast on cryptids, conspiracies, and the unknown.
Unknown.
You can catch us every other Monday on, actually, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thank you.
And we're back.
Look at that shot.
Hey there, Count Panic.
Beautiful.
You know, Count Panic, I, like, legitimate worry here. I believe there might be a leak in the roof.
Are you saying that for real?
No, I'm being serious. I think I hear it dripping above me.
There's fireworks going off.
Oh, that might be it. Never mind. Let's. Sorry. All right, Cal Panic, what'd you do during break?
Yes, I believe those are fireworks. Bob, yes, during the break, and I'm glad you asked me this, because during the break, I was reading my past subscription of National Geographic magazines. I have a whole stack of them, Bob. I went through all 37 copies in those few seconds there, front to back. So those are pretty interesting stuff. Remember National Geographic magazine?
You don't count panic. I also was reading a magazine.
Were you?
The Weekly World News.
Really?
The old supermarket tabloids.
That's a good one.
With such articles famously known for Bat Boy.
Historic,
like literally as far as the paranormal is concerned, like that was a spoof magazine that printed for many, many years.
Yeah.
But they were all goofy, goofy articles, but they were good. They were, you know, real spoofs on what we do. It's like the Mad Magazine or the paranormal, but I always loved the Weekly World News. I kind of missed that, or seeing those at the, you know, you'd see it on the stands. There are several of them I remember, but nothing I can mention on air because it's a little risque.
Yeah.
But, for example, a three-organed, we'll say, woman and a three-armed man gave birth to the three-legged baby. The stories of Bat Boy, you know, sharks being trained by foreign countries to send over here for shark attacks. Strange, bizarre stories came out of the Weekly World News, and I was a big fan of those back in the day. So
no,
that's what I did during
too.
Those are what I did during
we'll swap break. Magazines during the next, after the show, we'll do it after the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that was what I was doing.
All right.
All right, Count Panic.
Yeah.
So let's dive right into the lore of the week, right? And it's funny because the lore of the week, we're going someplace comfortable, someplace homely, someplace that you and I are pseudo-celebrities in.
Really?
What is the great state of Wisconsin?
Oh, Wisconsin. Fantastic state. Probably one of the best. Nothing against the state we're in, Indiana.
No, I listen. Wisconsin is
a fantastic state.
Wisconsin is like second home for me. Third home. It was Chicago and Indiana. Like through that, like the line of states, I adore Wisconsin. It's a cool state to be in, right? It's kind of like being away from everything, but being close enough to Chicago at the same time, where you can like go to Chicago if you want to go, and you're not like going out of your way. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
I like Wisconsin a lot. And our first booking we ever had in the Bob After Dark like convention scene was Wisconsin. And I could always rely on the great Dairy State to book us for an event because it never ceases to amaze me how often we get asked to get booked in Wisconsin. Can't get booked in Chicago sometimes to save my life, but God help the great state of Wisconsin. It's like, Bob After Dark, come on up.
And really, Bob, they have the three greatest exports we got around here. They got the cheese, they got the fudge, they got the beer. All three things perfectly made there in the great state of Wisconsin. Spotted cow, Bob. Spotted cow.
Spotted cow, cheese.
Fudge.
Beer.
But beer, yeah.
Oh, my God, the beer. The beer in Wisconsin is some of the best beer you'll ever have in your entire life. There's the moth again.
The moth is out in full force tonight.
But beside the Wisconsin world is things like Woodman's and Shopko and, the Bunko Knights and fill in the blank of other Wisconsin tropes. There lies some weird, spooky things that go on in the great state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You know, stories of the Hodag and the haunted spots in Milwaukee like Shaker Cigar Bar. And, of course, right over the border, in a strange place called Elkhorn, Wisconsin, there is a road famously named Bray Road, which is the home of probably one of the most infamous cryptids of all time, known as the Beast of Bray Road, and the Wisconsin, as I call it, the Wisconsin Werewolf or Dogman.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that this week, but 20 minutes west of Elkhorn, Wisconsin, so you're still fresh in your mind about these strange werewolf sightings that are found in that area. About 20 minutes west, about an hour, almost 2 hours away from Chicago, there is a city called Whitewater, Wisconsin, also known as Second Salem. And Second Salem is a very interesting place because I've been there twice in my travels. The one time I went there was for a brewery that was called Second Salem Brewery, and they make a beer called the Beast of Bray Road Ale. It's wonderful. One of my favorite beers in the entire world. And I've only ever gone there on a Sunday. And when you roll up into the town on a Sunday, it is quiet. Very
too quiet.
It's a ghost town, like, almost. And the brewery's like the one spot open that's popping, you know, and you get in there and you're chatting it up because the place is decked out in like really spooky, cool cryptid art.
Yeah.
And, you know, paranormal themed beer. And it's a wonderful spot. I recommend any of my fans that happen to be listening to. I recommend all my fans that might be out in the area because it's not too far away from Milwaukee. If you're out in the area, go over to Second Salem and try the Beast of Bray Road beer. But I digress. In that town, I would have never expected to be around some of the most creepy ghost stories I've ever heard of. And also has a nickname. Second Salem's not just the name of the brewery, but it's the name of the town, too. And it was also some of the cases of the Wisconsin witch trials as well. So sit back and relax, folks, as I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the different areas in Whitewater, Wisconsin that are known for witches, ghosts.
Well, that's
werewolf sightings.
And that's interesting because I didn't even know there was you always hear about the Salem witch trials, but Wisconsin witch trials as
well. That's a thing, yeah. And it's unfortunate because, like, again, folks, and the witchy community are big part of my heart. I love my witchy community. I love my witchy fans so much. And it pains me to know that some of these horrendous acts happened. And it pains me when I was doing even research for this episode, how much the witchy community gets a really derogatory terminology tossed at them sometimes. And it's not fair at all. So I'm going to share the stories as I find them researched. But just keep in mind, folks, that the witch community, and this is my PSA, and I'll stand on the biggest soapbox in the world defending them. The witchy community could be anybody. You'd be surprised how many people out there perform in the craft in some capacity, and they are no different than me, you, or Count Panic, for example. Yeah. They're some of the nicest people in the entire world, would give you a shirt off your back or give you some sort of really beautiful home crafted ailment that would help cure things like mosquito bites, poison ivy, fill in the blank, maybe potentially give you some really good spiritual advice and fill in the blank. Again, even though these stories do have stories of the witches in derogatory terms, because there were the trials there in the spiritualism movement as well, not related to witches, but just keep in mind, that is a form of thinking, it is a form of religion and spiritual practices amongst people. So PSA, I love you all, my witch community. You guys are the best, 10 out of 10. But let's move on, and we're going to talk about the Whitewater Triangle, which is also referred to as the Witch's Triangle, which strangely enough, is a perfect isosceles of cemeteries in Whitewater. This article is written in the Royal Purple News. We're going to be talking about this. So it's Sam Mazzaro, Jr. at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, is the leader of the Second Salem Paranormal Investigative Team, who searches through paranormal sites and holds various legends and myths. Mazzaro was once part of the Wisconsin-Illinois Paranormal Investigative Team and have done several investigations in Whitewater. There are several different places that Mazzaro has mentioned and wrote about. He's one of the more profound historians of the Whitewater area. And the first place I wanted to talk about, and I'll be going into these periodically throughout the episode, is the Witch's Tower. And that was the picture I took and I put it up on for the episode image this week. The Witch's Tower is the second oldest and operating water tower in Wisconsin, and it's just got a feel to it because it's, you go up a hill in the park, and up on top of the hill there is this gated area with a tower that sticks straight up. And legend has it that this is, so it was built back in 1899. And it still has, again, it's a functioning water tower, and it's maintaining the pressure rather than dispensing the water. The tower has faced some changes over the years, and there is a gate that goes around the outside. Back in 2008, the gate was changed from having a barbed wire on the top to facing inward, as if it was trying to keep something inside rather than keeping people out. And currently the gate just has points going upward, which is what I saw when I was there on Sunday, that makes getting inside the tower very difficult. The gate is locked as well as the door to the tower, and it has a very big lock that is unlocked with a huge key, which is kept by the city. Otherwise, there's no way in or out of the tower once you're inside. And it is believed that there are witches buried under that tower. And the reason why it's called the Witch's Tower is because the local covens used to say that they would gather there and perform various rituals and practices there. And it's a very hollowed spot, right? Because the trees that line the area kind of surround it. And I was talking to the waiter at Second Salem Brewery about it, and he says he goes up there every, by the way, Xavier, I don't know if you're going to hear this story, but you were the best. Thank you for everything. Xavier was really Xavier was saying that you go up there on every full moon, and when you see the light shining on the trees going there, it's as if you see images of people dancing around the water tower. It's got a real, you know, spooky vibe to it, but it's very fascinating that, you know, your local covens went there to do their gatherings and perform their rituals and whatnot and their magics with a K. And it's a very interesting spot, and you have to understand that there holds a lot of power there, and you could feel it. It's almost intoxicating when you're there. I actually there was a branch that kind of fell over big enough to be a walking stick, and I kept it for myself.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Well, there you go. Yeah, souvenir. So
it's a souvenir. Yeah. And it was a beautiful spot, and it has just a lot of energy to it. Some say that if you're at the tower today and you go around Halloween time, you can hear people laughing and see images of people dancing in the field.
So these are positive feelings.
Positive, yeah. Okay. And when you perform rituals and stuff like that, it's a big, big energy footprint, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very possible that there could be something kicking around there, and it drew these people there to go perform their, perform their rituals. So definitely got some vibes at the old Witch's Tower, right?
Yeah.
And it's at a beautiful park. So the other things we're just going to talk quickly about this, and we'll move into the different things here, is the Isosceles Triangle, known as the Witch's Triangle of Cemeteries. You have the Calvary Cemetery, and it's said that most of the paranormal occurrences happen right around that area because it's right by the University of Wisconsin. The second one is the Residence Hall, which is where the cemetery is right by the Residence Hall. And then finally is the Hillside Cemetery, which is, I got to personally go there. Highest hills I've ever been in at a cemetery, and it's really strange because when you go up to the top of the cemetery, the grave sites work their way down in like a circular pattern, moving downward into the grave sites. Real spooky stuff.
That sounds like something that might frighten somebody walking.
Well, I love cemetery tours. Yeah. So even outside the realm of the paranormal, it's very fascinating finding some of the really cool, like, monuments that people leave behind and whatnot.
That one we went to with Kale and Company in Milwaukee there.
I can't think of the name of that one offhand, but that one was beautiful too.
The hill that sloped down?
That sloped down, and then you had the vortex right in the middle.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk a little bit about the truth behind the legend of the Witches of Whitewater and where that terminology comes from. Again, mm-hmm. This comes from the Royal Purple. I'm going to read it word for word, written by Emma Cunningham. You probably heard the horror stories or have seen the eerie movie trailer about the infamous Witches of Whitewater. Although it was hard to say what is true about the local tales, during the time of the year, you can't help but get a dark and creepy feeling. Remember, folks, witches live right next to you. I guarantee and promise it. Not that spooky at the end of the day. The urban legend of witches and spiritual happenings began in the late 19th century, leading Whitewater to become known as Second Salem. It is said that the tales began around 1889 when Morris Pratt Institute was built in the town. The Institute was known for teaching spiritualism, which was a popular belief during the 1800s and had regular lectures were given on psychic subjects and paranormal activities. Real quick, this is just a bullet point in the world of spiritualism, because it's a long thing. The spiritualism movement is a form of religion. I actually had a chance when I was down in Orlando to go to the heart of the spiritualism movement with Casadega. They're a religion that kind of weaves into believing in, like, all forms paranormal and occulty and paganism, and it kind of weaves it into one thing where talking to spirits is very common, and they perform seances and during their masses and stuff. It's a very progressive religion, we'll say.
Yeah.
It is said that the spiritualism was a popular belief during the 1800s, and talk about the psychics. Psychic movements, paranormal activities. And it was said that the building had an all-white room that was used to conduct seances. I prefer my seance rooms to be a little darker. I think the white would be a little distracting, but that's just me. It's probably where the spookiest thing in Whitewater, the old Morris Pratt School, said Karen Weston, the UW Winchester Whitewater's archivist for 27 years. The school functioned for about 40 years until it was turned into a telephone office. In 1946, the Institute was moved to Milwaukee, where it still exists to this day. What many people find intriguing about the story is a locked book in a special collections section of the basement of the Anderson Library. No relation. Rumors say that the dark contents of the book have driven three students and a professor to, unfortunately, trigger warning folks, who committed suicide. According to legend, one person who borrowed the book was locked in a mental institution. Because of the because of this, the book is not hidden under lock and key at the Anderson Library. If you see the book, you will be expelled, or so they say, very similar to the VHS tape of The Ring. The only lock book we own is actually a Catholic hymnal, Weston said. We think these stories come about it from that the fact that up until 1989, 100 years after the Morris Pratt Institute was founded, the storage we used for the book was a locked cage only because the storage unit we had. A locked book in a special collections got this image of being dangerous. However, none of the people who have ever talked about this Catholic hymnal have ever given us a publisher, a title, and another, no date, nothing. It is unknown if the mysterious book remains unlabeled for a reason or for a coincidence. Adding to the town's eeriness, Whitewater has three cemeteries have something unusual about them. There's the Calvary Cemetery, which sits on the northern edge of the campus, Oak Grove Cemetery, which is located on a hill next to the Washington Elementary School. What a weird thing to have next to an elementary school, by the way. Yeah. On the east side of town, which is where I was at, in the hillside cemetery adjacent to Cavareth Lake, are positioned in a shape in a perfect isosceles triangle. Legend has it that the triangle can be connected to witchcraft. There was a coffin of a little girl who mysteriously put back on campus back in 1970 during Halloween week. People think it was taken from one of the local cemeteries, Weston said. Oak Grove Cemetery is said to be the final resting place of axe-toting murderess Mary Worth. On Halloween Eve, legend says that Mary can be spotted among the tombstones. By the way, folks, that term Mary Worth gets put around quite a bit. Mary Worth was the Bloody Mary story, apparently, as one of them. Mary Worth was the, you know, real first female serial killer. Mary Worth was the witch out of Lake County, Illinois, that supposedly is linked to the Bloody Mary story. So there's a lot of Mary Worths as far as legend, and I feel like in that, like, stop straight south, like between Whitewater and Lake County, Illinois, it's a name, so I don't know how much I buy into it. But anyway, the haunting stories continue about the small western town, including one about the Stonewater Tower in Starren Park. And we were talking a little bit about that area earlier, which is stories say that witches surround the tower at night performing rituals in the park. An iron fence was put up around the tower with barbed wire spikes pointed inward as if something was trying to keep something in rather than people out. The tower just sits well south of Wells Hall, which is also said to have many hauntings since the late 1960s. Wells Hall is not the only student housing that has questioning stories. In 1981, the girls of Alpha Sigma sorority heard loud noises coming from the basement while they ate dinner. Bricks of the basement floor were found scattered everywhere, and when they went to check it out, revealing a never-before-seen tunnel entrance. The story says that the tunnel system was used by witches as a way of traveling between the town's oldest mansion-sized homes without being spotted by civilians. Don't blame them. People suck.
Yeah.
I hate to be, you know, persecuted and yelled at as I pass by to go perform my stuff, so absolutely. I don't blame them for using tunnels. I want to use tunnels now, and I'm not trying to hide my practices of being persecuted. I just don't want to be bothered. The most recent story about the witches took place in 1992 when three students witnessed a late-night ritual on the beach near Whitewater Lake, watching a ritual until it appeared as if a huge object was coming from the lake. As time passes, the stories become more unusual and persistent. And although they are all undocumented and extremely vague, they do a good job of keeping their creepiness factor haunting students year after year. Hate to break it to you guys. Witches performing rituals, that happens a lot in a lot of places. It's fun that the story kind of has it, like, in Whitewater, and they believe that's what the testing to the paranormal stuff. Could be that the, you know, conjuring up stuff and big energy footprints, and, you know, when you're performing things like that, sometimes you light a beacon of spiritual, like, attractiveness to things like that. So yes, very much possible, and it's very interesting that those kind of stories happen around that. But you have to understand, as generations go on, you're going to have more and more witches, and even to this day, more and more people are turning to witchcraft as a form of an actual religion that they wish to practice. And 2021, why not is the answer I have for that, for my fans that practice, why not? But it's still fascinating to hear that, like, people have all this legend and lore about Whitewater, Wisconsin, and it's just interesting to hear.
Yeah.
And In Whitewater, there is a university there, which is the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. And according to the Wisconsin Haunted Houses website, which is a kind of a directory of haunted houses are in and around Wisconsin, like theatrical haunted houses and actual paranormal encounters, they talk about a spot on the college campus. There are several locations at this university are said to be haunted. One is at the Center of the Arts, where chairs move across the room. Apparitions are seen. Our unexplained hammering can be heard through metal at night. The sound of someone walking down the stairs can be heard in a Delta Zeta house, and a bathroom door stall slams in Clem Hall, along with apparitions and invisible people talking, laughing, or running around during the hallways. At Fricker Hall, the apparition of a deceased student has been seen in the basement, and a ghost librarian has been known to open doors and elevators for the living at Knolls Hall. So even the university's got some spooky stories to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to go to a haunted university. I don't think where we went to college, because, you know, brought down the barrier real quick in the veil. Kalpanik and I actually met in college, so we went to the same university. I don't think we had any ghost stories about our university.
I can't say we did. I know my grade school and high school had a couple. By the way, if you're watching on Jet TV, a moth just flew right behind me there. Moth is still kicking around. But, yeah, my grade school, my high school had a couple backstories to that, my grade school especially. Had a weird vibe depending on what part of the buildings you were in, but never our college, Bob. It's not every educational building can be haunted, though. Sometimes there's really nothing going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So it doesn't surprise me that a place like Whitewater has got like all of these different stories to it, because it is literally a beacon in the middle of nowhere. There is no easy way to get to Whitewater, Wisconsin. I was talking a little bit about it on Sunday when we were driving back. You can't get to it from like the expressway. Getting to Elkhorn is relatively easy. You got to take a couple different ways to get there, but it's relatively easy to get to Elkhorn and Bray Road. There is no easy way to get to Whitewater. It is very isolated. It has that ghost town feel. And the fact that it both had, you know, a big spiritualism movement there, when you practice spiritualism, you perform things like seances on the regular. That opens up portals. It opens up vortexes. It causes, again, kind of like a beacon for people in the spiritual realm to kind of come through and come visit there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it if Whitewater was a very big area for what I'd like to call like a window dimension, like in Peel's case with the Mothman prophecy. So it's referred to Point Pleasant as a window dimension, which is a very thin place between this and that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very possible. And if it's drawing things like witchcraft, you know, witch covens and things like the spiritualism movement and just generalized paranormal investigators and stuff, it's very interesting to kind of have that, you know, and it doesn't surprise me that something like this would be a haunted area. What do you think, Cal Panic?
No, for sure. Yeah, if you got stuff like that happening going around there too, but I can't help but think, I'm trying to think of a time we were in college and anything spooky occurred. Not to my knowledge. I mean, we had some classes together and
yeah,
nothing ever occurred, so it's a shame. Too bad. It'd be cool to go to a haunted college, wouldn't it?
That's what I'm saying. We didn't go to a haunted college.
We'll have to go back and find a haunted college and attend a haunted college. We get our degree in something there, just to be a part of the haunted college.
You know, I always thought about, I always told myself if I wanted to go and do a college degree again, I think I would go and get my parapsychology degree.
Can you get that at the college we went to?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
There's not many, like, on-campus universities that offer parapsychology degrees. I know of several online schools that offer parapsychology degrees. By the way, folks, for the uninformed, parapsychology is college degrees in paranormal studies and how the paranormal interact with the living.
And that was not offered at our college.
That was not offered at our college.
Do you know any college out there that offers?
There are several. There are several online ones.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like a physical college.
No.
No?
I've looked, and maybe I'm not finding it, but I'm sure Yeah, no, I'm sure they're out there. I can't find one that offers like a parapsychology degree. There are classes where you could take in paranormal studies and parapsychology classes, but not like a direct, I'm going to school for a parapsychology degree. In 2021, I don't know exactly what you would do with a parapsychology degree as far as this is what I'm going to use for a job hunt if you're looking to get into the 9-to-5 world or just the job market in general. Not a whole lot of jobs, I think, are in demand for the parapsychology world. People like me, I want one because this is what I do for my life. And it'd be very cool to have a doctorate in parapsychology. So then when people talk to me about Bob After Dark, I can refer to myself legally as Dr. Bob Anderson.
Dr. Bob.
Yes, I've looked into it.
And I'll be Dr. Count.
Dr. Count Panic.
I were to get one. Maybe it's something that's offered, but it's not advertised. Maybe if you knock on a few of the, maybe the chancellor's door and be like, hey, you know what? Is this offered here? I know it's not advertised, but does somebody around here teach this? You might say, hey, you know what, Bob? It is offered. We don't like to advertise it, but you want to take it? Here you go. But maybe someday, Bob. Again, online, though, online degree is just as good as going to get an education somewhere, so. You never know, Bob. Maybe online class for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. But Whitewater, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Strange landlocked community surrounded by nothing. You got to drive through some really spooky areas. It's only 20 minutes, like, west of Elkhorn, where the Beast of Bray Road was
What's
sighted.
The population? Do we know?
You know what? You can talk for a second, and I will look it up.
All right. Cause
talk
I always
to,
like
talk to
look,
our fans.
I always like to see what the population is of community, because sometimes when they say it's a smaller town or a smaller city, then maybe there's more of a some ghost stories going on there. The bigger the city, depending on, not in, like Chicago or a big major city, but sometimes it gets colluded with the regular ghost stories. What
in
did you say, Bob?
2019, there were 14,722 residents living in Whitewater. Most of them are college students.
Not too bad. Not too bad. Oh, well, most of them college students. Okay. Well,
yes.
That probably takes up a major part of the population.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the population.
Okay.
And it's very fascinating to know that, like, Wisconsin was one of the places where the, you know, the big spiritualism movement happened. In the world of the paranormal, spiritualism was kind of a very big, important thing. And outside the world of Casadega, Orlando, or it's not in Orlando, it's a an hour away from, you know, like the Disney parks and stuff.
Yeah.
But outside of Casadega, the other place the spiritualism movement started was in Whitewater, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And again, it doesn't surprise me that they have as much paranormal encounters as they do. You know, you have, and it's kind of landlocked, so, you know, people can go there and practice what they will in that kind of world for what they want. So it's, you know, an interesting place for, you know, both seances from spiritualists and practices of magic with a K with the witch community, and even just going to talk about werewolf sightings, because you're not far away from it. It is a strange place between isosceles triangle, a perfect isosceles triangle of cemeteries and just general weirdness. And of course, a Mary Worth story that to tie it to as well.
I think you get a summer home there, Bob.
I wouldn't mind living in Whitewater. It is a very beautiful town. Just not a lot to do outside of Second Salem, because
what more do you want in life, Bob?
Second Salem Brewery, by the way, folks, if you're out in the area, go get yourself the Beast of Bray Road beer, because
isn't that all you need then, Bob? Just the brewery,
just
with
a brewery with a good beer.
Yeah, that's all it takes to keep a Bob happy, I think. But very cool story, Bob. But that's, is that the only place you can get that beer? I can't get any.
Oh, absolutely. You can't buy that anywhere else. Right. When I went there, I bought me some to-go beers.
Worth the trip.
Yep, absolutely. It is a hike, though. It is not, you know, you get to Milwaukee in like an hour and a half from here, but it is not easy to get to.
Got
to
sacrifice it sometimes.
Yeah. Do you have any final words, Count Panic?
Final words? No, thank you once again. And I see the moth flying over me here. You know, let's see if it comes down at some point, but it's still flying, Bob. That's the latest moth update we got. Hopefully it has safe travels wherever it's going.
Absolutely. Folks, thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. I just want to wish you all sweet dreams. To my mom and dad, I want to wish you good night. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dream of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are, not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time. We'll be right back.
Memoriam Development.